It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey.
The Yankees are out to a commanding 2-0 lead in the American League Championship Series before the series shifts to Cleveland for games 3, 4, and potentially 5 if necessary. I got to tell you, though, BT, they still haven't played. I mean, the Yankees have now played 6 games in the postseason, and they still have not played a solid baseball game. Certain things about their game has been good, but overall, I'm still not seeing what I believe I need to see to believe this team can be a World Series winning team.
For a team that doesn't have a lot, and you hear that from a lot of different people, or maybe don't have enough, and it's moving in the right direction. I mean, I hear you to an extent, and we'll get to the base running gaffes and some of the empty at-bats. Yanks are 2 wins away from the World Series, and you know, listen, the Central, I don't count it as over yet. You got to get those two, and you never know with it a series. So I don't want to be too presumptuous here, but it's not our fault that the Central is a little inferior. Nobody felt bad for the Yankees all those years when the Red Sox had 3 or 4, you know, guys who would be in the Hall of Fame if they weren't so juiced up, proven on steroids. And the two best teams in baseball, you know, were basically knocking each other out. I mean, sometimes it is a cyclical, circumstantial thing. I think the Yankees have a lot, whether it's the bullpen, and hopefully, you know, now Judge has awoken. Gleyber looks really good. Some other stuff as well. But, hey, I mean, I don't know what to say. For a team that doesn't have this and that, Yanks are sitting pretty good.
Right, but it's false. Like you said yesterday, you think the Yankees are going to win the World Series.
I do.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that they are advancing. Based on the fact that, yeah, I'll give you a little favorable matchup, which means they're getting to the World Series.
Well, even if
the conversation becomes, and I know that you're not trying to go here now, but I'll bring it here for a second. Even if the conversation is, well, the Dodgers are better than the Yankees on paper, and the Mets are better than the Yankees on paper, and also the fact that the Mets beat them 4 times over the summer.
Whatever, yeah.
I mean, they did beat them. I don't want to, you know, omit that fact. The other fact is that one of those two teams ain't moving on.
Right.
So it's not like they got to beat both the Dodgers and the Mets.
Right, but then why?
I mean, so it's one team you're going to have to beat once you get past the Guardians.
But what makes you think that the way the Yankees, based on the way the Yankees have played, not only the majority of the season, like say from June on, look at the postseason. Now, there are two ways to look at it. One, you could say, well, the Yankees are winning despite playing less than their best baseball.
Which gives me, you know, more confidence.
Right, but and then the other way is to say, well, why would I believe that? Like, it's been since June through the first 6 games now in October, and they still have not been able to put together a great game. And the way that they're winning is because the other teams that they're playing, and this is not their fault, like you said, you can only play who you play, but clearly the other teams are inferior. So why would I believe that all of a sudden, if in fact the Yankees do finish off Cleveland and get themselves to the World Series, that they're going to flip a switch and all of a sudden play better? Because they will not win a World Series playing like this. Certain elements are good, yes.
Okay.
But they will not beat the Dodgers or the Mets playing like this. So I'm just curious why you have that confidence that it'll change.
Well, the word inferior is interesting to me because the starting pitcher that the Guardians trotted out last night is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's good. And
right.
The Yankees said, take a shower after 5 hits and 2 innings.
When he was walking to the dugout after what he leaving the second inning,
yep.
was there stains on on his pants from wetting himself.
I mean, there
for
may
the
have
sight
been.
Of the Yankees. I mean, the AL Central. Yeah, all we heard about was the Guardians being able to play good defense and dropping pop offs like Luis Castillo. I mean, what is going on here? But again, it's not. That's not the Yankees.
But I'm going to give you a direct answer. Yeah. So the answer to and the question was, what gives you the confidence that this will get better to eventually have to beat a team like the Dodgers or the Mets? My answer is this: number one, I think last night's a jump off point for Judge, and I do think that there and that. I mean, that's got to happen. I mean, I could say it, but until it happens, it doesn't happen. I believe last night's the start of Aaron Judge and his, whether it's Reggie or whomever, Yankee run, Yankee moment. I think Judge is ready to start stamping a legacy. And I really have avoided the legacy stuff with Judge because it's kind of tired. It's kind of cliche. And by the way, the previous game, he faced four different pitchers and four different at-bats. I don't think Reggie or anybody else, Mickey Mantle, had to do that. So there's always context here, and he hasn't been very good. I think Judge is going to start mashing, and I really do think that the elements of some of the poor play during the regular season, Stanton, and I know that I've been on Stanton, all year, but Stanton was hurt for a long chunk, and so was Anthony Rizzo. Right now, those are basically, along with Torres, their two best hitters,
right,
and Soto. So those guys are back. I think it's added depth to the lineup, and I just think when you factor in a bullpen, when you factor in enough defense, whether it's left field, whether it's up the middle, shortstop, even behind the dish with Wells, Glaber's been fine at second, Rizzo fine at first, I think they'll catch it well enough. I think the bullpen's amazing, and I think their best players will eventually rise enough to get them to and win the World Series.
Yeah.
Now, well, winning the World Series, that's a different... the confidence I have to get to the World Series is sky high. Book it. Yanks are going.
Well, I mean, I hope winning, so. They're two wins away from a team that...
I was saying this even going in, and I was saying this after game one.
I didn't need two games to say...
Yeah,
well, I think a lot of people were saying, well, look at the path. The Astros are out. There's really nobody in the American League. Well, once the Orioles go out, too, at least the Orioles had a threat because of their offense. But you look at these lineups. The lineups are pathetic. But again, I'm not even using that as the argument because the Yankees, you can't fault the Yankees for playing teams that aren't very good.
No way.
But when you watch the Yankees, they should be better. How many times do we got to see the same first inning? They get the first two guys on, and they don't deliver. They can't score runs. If you do that against a better team like the Mets or the Dodgers, they will get beat. Gerrit Cole, two of his three starts in the postseason.
He was not good last night.
Okay.
Gerrit Cole was not good.
But it's not just about last night, and I love Gerrit Cole, but two of his three starts in the postseason haven't been good enough. Mm-hmm. Rodon, inconsistent. Like, if Holmes and Weaver don't give up runs, I know Weaver got touched up, but a meaningless home run against... Yeah, Ramirez finally gets it going with nobody on, and the game is basically over at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. But Weaver and Holmes, if they don't give up runs in big spots, the Yankees will not be beat. Is that going to continue? Who the hell knows? Austin Wells can't buy a hit behind Judge. And I'll give you Judge. Like, no, I was never really overly concerned about Judge. He does have to prove himself in the postseason. That's something he hasn't done before. But the Yankees had Soto and Judge in the regular season playing at a high level, and yet they were two games under 500 from June, the middle of June on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that that's the answer either. There's just something about the Yankees and the way that they play. It's not perfect. Boone acknowledged that. It's not clean and crisp. It's not they're better than this. They can be better than what they've shown so far, but they're winning. And I think you could be fooled because they're winning, thinking that it's going to continue or get better. And when the opponents step up in class, and it will one way or another in the World Series, I think the Yankees could be in for a rude awakening.
But I think it's too late to be fooled. I mean, when you're two wins away from the World Series, I don't think anybody's getting fooled. I think that there's definitely what the Yankees have presented has been less than maybe what we associate with championship caliber. I definitely give you that. I do. I mean, and just start with the Yankees dynasties. And, those teams were deeper. They had more star power. They were more consistent. Listen, I think it's a very imperfect situation, which is part of the reason why I feel good about this, because the teams that they are still battling, at least in the American, the team, is even less perfect than the Yankees.
Right.
Listen, Sal, we sat
right
here,
but the World Series is different.
It could be. Not necessarily. I mean, it could be.
But those two teams, the Dodgers and the Mets, are light years better than the Royals and the Guardians.
I think the Dodgers' talent is, and I think the Mets are...
Mets have the best record in baseball since
June. I understand what they have. Do I think that the Mets have a star-studded lineup? The answer is no. If you do, I don't know what to tell you. They don't. Now, they win.
You don't think the Mets lineup is significantly better than the Royals or Guardians?
No, but I don't think it's
like significantly
but that's not
better.
What you said.
You said that it's
star-studded.
The Dodgers lineup
is star-studded.
I didn't say star-studded. I said significantly better. Both those teams are light years ahead of the Guardians and Royals.
Even if I give you that, which I probably probably will. I'll probably meet you a little bit there. What does that mean for the Yankees?
Let me ask you this.
We're sitting here in November, what is it, Hoff, what is it, November 2, last day of the World Series. Let's say we have a seven-game series, and on November 2nd, November 3rd, whatever it is, we come in, and the Yankees, now, if they beat the Mets, it's a totally different atmosphere, yeah. But if they beat whomever, if they beat somebody, and they don't play great, like they go through this, again, I'm with you. Like, beating some teams at, all right, whatever.
Right.
Get to the Dodgers, maybe two games, or the Mets, two games, they get smoked. Maybe one game they win because the other team's bullpen implodes. Like, they don't really flex, but they get to the World Series and they win, right? Does it matter?
No.
Okay.
But we're not talking about if they win, we're talking about why you think they will win.
Well, I think that they'll win because they're the best team in the American League, and right. They're going to be the last team standing in the American League. They'll be one of two teams still standing, and I'll take my chances with that.
Right.
Because, by the way, like what the Mets, and I don't want to make this anti-Mets, I really don't, but like what the Mets...
But I can't, because
those are the two teams waiting.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if it weren't the team in this town, forget the rivalry for a second. If you just looked at whatever the team name was, but it wasn't from New York, and saying, well, this has been the best team in baseball since June, and look at what they've done in the postseason, that would be an opponent that you should be fearing. It's the Mets.
No, fear's the wrong word. Because now
the way the Yankees have played and the way that the Mets have played, fear, I think, would be the appropriate word.
It wouldn't be my word. It would be, all right, it's going to be tough. It would be respect. There's no doubt.
Right.
But you got to understand. And again, it's a four-game sample, right? And like what the Mets have done, it's been amazing. Nobody's taking that away from them. But people lean on, you've referenced it, and I would too if it was flip four zip, the Subway Series. Who led off for the Yankees in that series?
Yeah, I'm not worried about
that. Is his name Tyrod? I forgot his name. It could have been Tyrod Taylor, the right. Jets backup. Who batted fourth? J.D. Davis. Totally different team.
So I'm not,
I put zero in that.
I don't think the Mets are better than the Yankees because they beat them head-to-head. I think the Mets are better than the Yankees because of the large sample size, what we've seen. They've played better baseball, but it's not even about them. The Dodgers and Mets, the National League in general, if this were the Phillies, I'd be saying the same thing, but I think the Mets are better than the Phillies. So it's not a Met Yankee thing. It's the Yankees haven't played great baseball thing.
Yep.
And the competition, assuming that they do finish off the Guardians, which I think it's a safe assumption for everybody, I'm not ready to go there yet because I still don't believe the Yankees have played the caliber of baseball that would warrant a World Series team. The best thing you could say about the Yankees is the same thing everybody's been saying all year long. Well, nobody else is that good anyway. In the World Series, that's going to change. So the only thing that I was questioning is not them getting to the World Series, not that they can't turn it up.
Can they win playing this way?
Well, you were so confident yesterday saying that they're going to win the World Series, right? And then again, they had another game where it was like, good, and some good signs.
Oh, yeah, no, and definitely some things that made me say, you got to play better. But I did say this the other day as well. See, it's a very interesting dynamic with the, and I get it because they're a victim of their own success, aura, history, whatever, which is amazing, but, you know, it's a little tired of that. You got to win again here. And for some reason, again, I do understand it, I guess, when the Yankees win and it looks less than perfect, we nitpick. And that's fine. And I got it. I also know this. Yanks are up 2-0. Yanks are going to the World Series. And whether it's your team or the Dodgers, I'll feel good about it. That's it.
Right. And I'd just like to know, again, based on what? BT and Sal?
But I just told you. Based on the bullpen, based on Judge taking off, based on... I literally told you six minutes ago.
He hit one home run, taking off. And by the way, even if he was...
So you don't think the best player in the game is capable of going on a three-week binge where he looks like Aaron Judge in July?
100% I do.
All right.
But I also saw the best player in the game with the second best player in the game go on an incredible tear, and yet that same team was two games under 500 from June on.
But what is baseball? See, this is...
Now, I'll give you the bullpen.
Jose Ramirez had 39 doubles, 39, 39 doubles, 38, 39 home runs, 41 steals. He was basically almost the first player to go 40, 40, 40. What's he done this series? Nothing except the meaningless home run. So
two games.
I understand that. Yeah. But if we're going to fixate on Judge, now part of Judge's path is what's happened in the past
as
well.
I'm not fixating on Judge.
I know you're not. You haven't. I'm going to be fair with that. A lot of people have. But baseball ain't easy. And as long as you win, like if the Yankees were trotting out 3, 4, 5 leaky arms in the pen that I knew just couldn't hold down leads, I'd say, man, I'm terrified. But they got, you can tell me about the Astros bullpen and this bullpen. And I think the Yankees have the bullpen. I don't care what the numbers say. Everybody they trot out is up to the job. So that is the main reason.
I think that's the best answer.
The other answer is Soto and Judge.
Yeah, fair.
There we go.
And the bullpen, when it faces a real lineup, might be a little different. And we'll see in a World Series one way or another. Because it will be, regardless of who it is, it's going to be a step up in competition. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eli is in the Bronx. What's up, Eli?
Hey, man.
What's going on, Sal? I just want to, you asked me a question. Well, based on what I think Yanks will win the World Series. Well, first of all, you're making like the Guardians are a bunch of scrubs. We just faced basically essentially a bullpen game against the best bullpen in baseball, and we still won. Number two, Luke Weaver looks freaking like Mariano out there. And their bullpen is absolutely locked down. Gleyber Torres is playing great. Giancarlo Stanton is locked in right now. Volpe's playing great. Judge is about to go on a tear. And, yeah, give me the Mets all day, baby. I'm ready.
Okay. Good luck. Be careful what you wish for. I mean, again, I just like some, I'd like some factual, like the Yankees haven't, I'm confused as to why some people just can't acknowledge that the Yankees have not played great baseball. Matter of fact, I cannot wait to talk to Susan because at least she's rational. The first thing she said last night to Alex Verdugo post game was, wow, you guys are keep winning despite not even playing your best yet. Now, that doesn't mean that the Yankees can't get to another level. They could. They have the horses, but they're not. Garrett Cole. So we're just going to minimize what Garrett Cole did yesterday against a lineup that is as pathetic of an American League lineup in the championship series that I may have ever seen.
Well, listen, Susan, and we're going to have Rod, as you said, 10-4 is going to be great. Looking forward to that. I didn't hear her ask Verdugo that. I did hear parts of the game. I didn't hear her. That's a fair question. Now, I don't know the answer. I'm kind of asking out loud. Maybe there are other teams. Are there other teams in baseball whose players would be asked that question? After a win, when they're up 2-0, the place is... I'm not saying it's a bad question or that it's out of bounds or off base. My point is the standard is a little different, and that's fine. The standard should be different for the Yankees, but are you telling me if the Mets were up 2-0 on the Dodgers, you know, Rad or Howie's, that's the first question?
No, but
hey, can you guys keep winning if you don't play great ball? No, it's more celebratory, and that's fine.
I think we're missing the point here, and it was celebratory with Susan, and it wasn't a question. She was just basically acknowledging that you guys keep winning without even playing your best.
What did he say, by the way? What was his response?
I don't remember his answer to that exactly. But either way, it was a fine interview. But my point is that the Yankees are not playing their best baseball. They're now, you know, two more wins away from the World Series. At some point, when the competition steps up, like, the reason why they're able to win without playing their best at this point in the season is because the teams that they are playing aren't good enough. When they go to the World Series, we're going to find out if the Yankees, now maybe the Yankees step it up another notch or two.
Yeah.
That will be a big difference. But if they don't, can they beat a better team like the Dodgers or the Mets?
And that, I think that they can.
I don't.
I think, and I got you. We just keep moving the goalposts. Right. I mean, because it was early on, it was, oh, well, Houston's dead. Oh, my God. Houston's, look, they're back from the dead. Watch out, Yankees. Here comes the old.
We're not moving the goalposts.
No. Follow me, though. Yeah. Here comes the Astros back from the grave. Better watch out. It doesn't work out, right? The Orioles, you know, even going back to that April series, a lot of people, they look different, more dynamic, better, faster, ready to, you know, bury the Yankees. Orioles are home. And so, Houston. So, right.
Why were you running from the World Series of Bust expectations then when I said it in April?
I said I got to see what they have.
Okay. Well, now,
Sal, but think about this to be fair. Now, that to me, you said you used the word rational with Susan. To me, that was a rational response. Number one, the Yankees haven't won since 2009. Right. So to blindly say, and it's one thing to predict, which means nothing, reason to feel emboldened enough to think that you can do it. Now, I thought that Giancarlo Stanton was shot. I thought he was absolutely cooked. I didn't know that Austin Wells, and he's an ice-cold funk here, but I didn't know that he was going to be this influential on the season. I didn't know that they would get Jazz Chisholm, who really has done nothing the last month, but was pretty good, you know, when they first got him. I didn't know. I didn't know where Verdugo was necessarily. I didn't know, you know, if Rizzo was absolutely fried. You know, I'm not a big Labor Torres fan. So when you ask, even though he's playing great, when you ask me that stuff, my reaction then fit how I felt. My reaction now fits how I feel. I think the Yankees are getting to the World Series, and I believe that they will win it.
BT and Sal on the Fan, we do have some breaking news here, BT. Andrew Thomas had surgery this morning, out for the year.
Ah, that sucks.
Right, Hoff? That gave it all there?
Yes, Liz Frank surgery.
Frank. That's a tough one. You know, we talked about that very briefly yesterday.
Yeah. We'll get more into that
that's
a little bit later. And then, as you know, the week goes on tomorrow and Friday, we'll talk more about it's a huge game.
Two years in a row now. Remember, he hurt his hamstring against Dallas week one. He missed a ton. So he's one of the best tackles in football. Feel terribly for the young man. He got paid. But he has not proven to be able to play seasons. He gets hurt a lot.
And he's the one guy that they cannot lose. Like, we thought stinks. Neighbors was that piece. Yeah. They can overcome being without Neighbors. Thomas is the one guy you would think that is going to potentially derail the Giants' season. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Susan Waldman will be joining us in about 15 minutes or so, so stay tuned for that. Right now, let's get back to the calls. Yankee fans excited about their club, just two wins away from the World Series. The first time since 2009, 888-808-1019. Kareem is in Brooklyn. What's up, Kareem?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
how
buddy.
You doing?
How you doing, man? What's going on?
Good. All right, listen, I had to call in. Sal, my man, Sal, listen, bro. You are the person who said before this series started that you thought that the Yankees would have problems with this team. You don't believe that it's going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be. We go out here, we're up 2-0, and, bro, you still dig for ways to minimize what they're doing.
No, I'm not. I'm not minimizing at all. And by the way, it's 2 games. Last I checked, you have to win 4 to get in, right? The series is going to shift to Cleveland.
You're right. Yeah. Now,
here's the thing. Did I expect Cleveland to not be able to catch the ball? I did not. Did I think that Cleveland's lineup was as pathetic as it is? I did not. I thought it was going to be a little bit better. So far, you're right. It has been an easy path for the Yankees for 2 games. I'm not minimizing. I'm just saying I believe they need to be much better if they are, in fact, to win a World Series, which is the goal, right?
That is absolutely the goal.
Okay,
but
so do you think the Guardians are as good as the Dodgers or the Mets?
I think they're better.
The Guardians are better than the Dodgers and Mets?
I think they're better than the Mets.
Based on what?
I believe that.
Based on what? You got to give me something factual here.
I believe they have a better pen.
Than the Mets?
I believe they have a better bullpen.
Okay, and you think that makes them better just because they have a better bullpen?
As it pertains to the postseason, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I do, Sal.
Yeah, okay.
I absolutely do.
Yeah, okay. And thanks for the call, Kareem. I think you're wrong.
Let me ask you this, Sal. So what's the – it almost doesn't matter, but what's the barometer when we say – because how do you really say the Guardians definitely better than the Mets better than the Guardians? Yeah. But what's the criteria? Like, are we leaning on total wins? Because if we are, it's advantage Guardians.
Well, the Mets have been the best team in baseball since
June. I understand that. No, I get that. And we always
since
give credit. Understood. But the season started late March,
this
not
is
in
for
June.
UBT,
but the
for
season
Kareem.
Started in early April,
understood.
Not mid-June. So
understood.
When
well,
the
are we going to reference that? Then if we are, then we can reference the fact that the Mets mopped the floor with the Yankees for the 4 games.
Yeah, that's why I
it.
Acknowledge that. No,
but
I don't
think that means anything.
Well, listen, we can acknowledge whatever you want. Right. I just think that when we're, and I don't want to say selective because it's certainly attributable to the Mets' success.
Right.
They have been the best team in baseball since May, whatever,
June.
You know,
since June. Yeah.
But the season starts in late March.
Right.
And the Guardians got the memo and the Mets didn't. So just because the Mets turned, the Mets turned it on, and won enough games to become a wild card team, the Guardians were ready to play ball from the outset and won almost 95 games.
Right. And
so how are the Mets better?
Because look at the Mets division, number one.
I mean, the Mets are in the division
with the Phillies and the Braves. That's number one.
Number two,
they play in the National League where the teams are better in the National League than the teams in the American League. Number three, the Mets starting pitching has been better than anything that the Guardians have. Number four, the Mets lineup, and look at it, is significantly better than anything the Guardians have. Now, you could say that their bullpen is better, sure. I mean, I guess in theory their bullpen has been better, but that's all that they have. And actually, the Mets' bullpen hasn't been that bad, even though we are mystified as to how the Mets have made it this far with that bullpen. They are here somehow, and they are three wins away from the World Series. And the Guardians still have not got on the board in the ALCS and are beating themselves. The Mets haven't beat themselves. They got beat by the Dodgers badly in Game 1. They have not beat themselves in this postseason. They took the Phillies out in 4, and they came back in an incredible way against the division Central winning Brewers. So, I mean, to me, there's many reasons
to believe. The Central division was pretty weak.
Who?
The Central.
Which Central are you talking about?
NL.
Okay, well, the Mets took the division champ out.
Understood.
And then they took the NL East champ out.
Do we have, Hoff, do we have, I'm sure we do. Can you look at someone to continue
See,
the conversation?
Here's the problem.
I need a stat, though. By the way, this might favor you. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if we say, now, perceptually, I don't think that you're necessarily wrong, but I'd like to at least have some data to back this up or refute it. Is the National League or was the National League definitively better than the American League? By the eye test, probably. What was the Interleague record? I mean, I'd just like to know the answer.
Well, I mean, but if I were just to ask you power rankings and how you rank them.
I would lean towards the National League.
Padres,
that came up the other
Dodgers,
day.
Dodgers, Phillies, Mets, like all those teams to me, outside of the Yankees, all those, and I'd probably put the Yankees at the bottom of that list, to be honest with you, based on how they've played the majority of the year. This is what it's going to turn into. Like, Kareem is obviously a Yankee fan who's anti-Mets. I'm telling you that the Mets have nothing to do with this conversation other than they are one of the two teams who will face the Yankees in the World Series, assuming the Yankees finish what they have to do. This is, to me, about how the Yankees are playing. And I just don't believe they're playing well enough. Again, I look at what they did with Kansas City, and they were fortunate in that series, especially early on. Barely beat the Royals, so you look at their lineup, it's not very good. Look at the way the Guardians have played here, dropping pop-ups. Guys, their pitches have been awful. They have no depth in that lineup whatsoever behind Ramirez and Naylor. Really, there are two hitters that are threatening. It's going to be different. Doesn't mean the Yankees can't win or can't beat the Mets or the Dodgers. I'm just saying that for me, I believe the Yankees have to play much better to be able to beat one of the teams that I think is superior to what the Yankees have faced in Cleveland and Kansas City. Both the Dodgers and Mets are better.
The Royals, you know, again, blanket statements, not crazy, but they've got a Hall of Fame catcher, and they've got, I think in a year or two, the absolute undeniable best player in baseball in Witt, who didn't do much. So, I get it, you know, and
that's a credit to the Yankee pitching, too.
There's no doubt you have the winning percentage.
I have the total winning percentage.
I'm just curious. What did you come up with? I have no idea. I've not looked into this.
So
I didn't know we'd go here right now. Go ahead.
The NL winning percentage this year was .510. The AL was .490.
Okay.
In
so
what?
Fairly head-to-head?
Close.
Yeah, head-to-head.
Overall record this entire season.
Oh, I meant head-to-head. I'm sorry.
Well, head-to-head must be in there somewhere. .510, .490. The NL was better than the
American
League.
So you mean like the average winning percentage in the American League was .490, the average winning percentage in the National League was .510?
Yes.
All right, not bad. I was really more like, hey, what did the National League, did they win 62% of the game? I'm just out of curiosity.
I mean,
if we're going to throw around statements, again, the eye test is important. I'm not really disagreeing with you, but I like to at some point substantiate something, even if I'm proven wrong.
Right.
Like, again, I do think that the National League is more powerful than the American League. I think you're a fool to think that it's not, or just blinded, or just a homer. The National League has better players. I think they're more potent lineups. I'm not dismissing that, but I would like to see if it actually played out that way on the baseball diamond this year.
Frank is in East Islip. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, good morning, boys. How are you?
Good.
What's happening, man?
Now, you said before the Yankee series started that you better take Cleveland a lot better than people think they are.
Yes.
And now we seem to change the narrative. The Yankees are up 2-0. They win. They need this. They need the, they're not playing good baseball. I get it, but why all of a sudden you change the narrative now that the Yankees are up 2-0?
Well, no, it's not changing the narrative. I don't think many people are shocked that the Yankees are up 2-0. What's supposed to happen from Cleveland, like if Cleveland's going to have a chance in this series, Frank, and thank you for the call, they have to catch the baseball. I mean, that's a big problem for them that they've been beating themselves here with sloppy defense, getting them off to a rough start. Cleveland does not look good at all. Doesn't mean that they can't play better at home. I'm still not running from the fact that Cleveland can make this a series where I feel like a lot of people are. But again, it's about the Yankees. And yes, you're right. I did think Cleveland was going to be a lot tougher than people thought because there was just an overlooking, dismissing nature to, well, the Yankees are playing the Guardians, they're going to be in the World Series. Maybe it is that easy. Maybe they do sweep. Maybe they get in. No drama whatsoever. And I think to have that happen, the Yankees have to turn it up a little bit, which, by the way, they did to a certain extent because I did not expect Rodon to be as good as he was in Game 1. Even if he was going to be better than he was against Kansas City, he was dominant in Game 1. Judge hitting a home run yesterday. The Cleveland defense, like a lot has happened in these first two games, which has favored the Yankees. It's not changing the narrative. The reality is I still haven't seen the Yankees play great baseball. And I do think that the next matchup for the Yankees, assuming that they finish this series off, is going to be much more difficult. That's it. Nobody's changing the narrative here.
And I think that when you win those two games in a very imperfect way, but certainly a fun way, as a Yankee fan, you got two wins, you take it. You do it against a team that's number one in defensive run saved. You're doing it against the number one bullpen. You're doing it with a top five or six, six player-ish in Ramirez, who's done nothing. You've neutralized him at a team with great team speed that you've managed to not run wild on the bases. So I get it. It is far from perfect, but you know what? Right now, Yanks two away, and next series is the next series. This series ain't over, but I'll take the two wins. I think every Yankee fan, by the way, so Sal's not saying that you know, you give them back, or your point
is... No, I'm not taking away from the Yankees winning.
I agree.
Right.
You're pushing this forward in a way that I don't think is nuts. Well, and they're going to have to play a little bit better in certain spots. I give you that, I gave you that before.
I said it against Kansas City. The Yankees are going to have to play better if they want to beat the Guardians. I think they have played a little bit better, but I think the Guardians are playing worse than what was expected of them, at least from me. And right now, we welcome in Susan Wallman, who is in Cleveland. Susan's appearance is brought to you by Empower Solar. We heard Susan on the call last night, of course, and... Is she there, or is Hoffa on the phone with her? Oh, she's there. Okay.
We're not in Cleveland yet. We're not leaving until... No. They've decided that it's better for the sleep cycles and things like that to go home, get a sleep, and we're going in a little while.
Okay. I was giving bad information there. Thank you, Hoffa. So, Susan, okay. I was driving home listening to you last night, and I love the first... It wasn't even a question that you had to Verdugo, but more of a statement, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So I'm watching the game thinking the same thing as you. Like, they have not, the Yankees have not played their best, but yet they continue to win. Is this sustainable in the next... Assuming that they finish off Cleveland, you think they can continue to play like this and beat a team from the National League?
I don't think they'll continue to play like this. All season, Sal, I've seen this team play down to their opponent. And they'll play just well enough to win. And as Aaron Boone said yesterday, the idea is to win. And, you know, you can pick on the stolen bases, a guy getting picked off. You can pick on everybody. But the idea at this time is to find a way to win, no matter what it is. Is it sustainable? I would hope that they're not going to play like this. But my guess is because they play better against better teams. And I know this is the Central Division champion. I understand. But it is not. It's not the Dodgers, and it's not the Mets. And I just think that this team plays to, you know, the level, you know, like when you play tennis. You always play better when you play someone that's better than you or as good as you.
I mean, did they get the memo? They're paid millions upon millions. So,
but they're winning the game.
No, I know.
Else do you want them to do?
No, trust
Should
me.
I'm gonna get a notebook. Okay, tell me all the things that went wrong.
Here we go. Well, listen, there's a lot of good. Soto, good. Glaber, good. Bullpen, amazing. Volpe, pretty good. I do want to ask you something about Garrett Cole, though. Susan Wallman. Okay, so Susan with us here on the fan. So anytime an ace doesn't have a good outing, first thing I look at, velo, to make sure there's nothing wrong. Velo was popping. He was 97, 98. Okay, command was way off, and it's not the first time it's been there this October. We know his plight this year with the injuries. Any concern? Where is he? What happened last night to Garrett Cole?
Well, what I think happened to Garrett Cole is exactly what you said. He had great stuff yesterday, the first, second, and even that third inning, 90s. He doesn't – now he is pitching more velo-wise like Verlander did when he was switching from that young stud to Justin Verlander, what he is last few years. He'll go 93, 94, and 95, and he'll stay there. And when he needs an out, he'll go 97, 98, and that's a smart way to pitch. When he lost it in the fourth, it was the fourth he lost it, right? He just couldn't get it back.
Yes.
He just could not. And when he starts shaking his head on the mound and getting dead, he doesn't blow up like Carlos Rodon, but his mind is always going and always ticking. You can see him thinking, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And he got out of it, but by that time he had thrown too many pitches. And when they don't like it when you start creeping up to 28, 29 pitches in an inning. It's not the pitches altogether 100. It's how many in an inning, which is why they started that thing in spring training. If you throw more than 30 pitches, you can go sit down and then come back. He was good enough to win. I know a lot of people say, you know, for that kind of money and for who he is, you know, Luis Gil gives you a chance to win. Clark Schmidt is supposed to give you a chance to win. Gerrit Cole is supposed to go out and dominate. And I think he thinks that also.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of disappointing, especially against this Guardians lineup, which, I mean, Susan, you've been watching baseball a long time. I look at the American League. That is as pathetic a lineup as I have seen in an American League championship series. So a soft lineup. I'm not trying to take away from Cole or the Yankees here, but it's a soft lineup. How about Clay Holmes coming into the game in that spot? He has been, to me, if not the MVP of the Yankees postseason so far, one of their MVPs. What has been different?
The difference is mechanically, the slider is not just going all over the place. The sinker has always been good. And what happens to him is that slider, he's the kind of guy that you want to yell at. Throw the ball down the middle. It's going to move, I promise you. He's got one of those. But when he tries to aim for corners and doesn't get it, then it's like 3 feet outside. That has stopped. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, they took him out of the ninth inning. And since they've done that, is there a correlation there? I don't know. But I do know that Clay Holmes, Tim Hill, and Luke Weaver, if they're not three MVPs right there, I mean, that bullpen has saved their bacon many, many times. And it's since that whole shakeup. It's since Luke Weaver has become a closer and they've moved. But you notice what he's doing with Clay Holmes. He's bringing him in high leverage situations, no matter what the inning is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the most important outs are in the sixth inning.
And it's worked out really, really well. Listen, I think that one player that can elevate everything to maybe something a little bit more palatable for Yankee fans here with fewer concerns is Chisholm. His swings have been awful. I mean, really, he has been – he's missed balls, even the previous series, by 2 feet. He's a little jumpy, a little sloppy on the bases. And I like Jazz. I do. But he has not been good. When does he get going?
When?
Yeah.
I'll ask him later and I'll call
you back. Let's go. I need the answer I'm running out of patience with him.
You're running. Okay. Repeat after me. The idea of a series is to win. The idea of a game is to win. He didn't cost them a game.
He could have.
That thing on the bases, okay, one of the things I want to say about that base running thing, they forgot a couple of things. One, as far as Boone was concerned, Jazz said that was a stupid play and he's got to play better. That's what Jazz said. Aaron Boone said, well, it was going to be a double steal and he got too far off second base. This is what I think. They forgot that it was not Bo Naylor behind the plate. They forgot that it was Austin Hedges. Austin Hedges is a real catcher.
Yep.
And evidently, he saw him off second base and said something to the pitcher. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't happen always. And when the Yankees, when runners were running against the Yankees, everyone is part of this. It's the catcher picking it up and telling the pitcher. It's the pitcher not standing there flat-footed and being ready to throw to any base. And it's also the infielders being on their toes. And that's what happened yesterday. Because you could see, I remember thinking to myself, they forgot who was behind the plate.
Yeah, but that's not good enough. Susan, whether I'm coaching third as the dad or in the stands as a fan or...
Well, okay, and you go in and you play third.
No, I'm just saying, no, hold on. But no, with all due respect, let's not get close.
Okay,
let's not close
what
over.
What do you want him to do?
He got picked off, Susan.
Yes, he did.
His head was in space.
Yeah, no, I don't think his head was in space. Well, I think
it wasn't looking at his back foot on the rubber on the inside move, I could promise you that, which is responsibility number one when you're a base runner on second.
Okay,
that's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I never coached Little League, so I don't know what little children do. But I'll tell you that when he was moving over, he thought he had that base stolen.
And he was wrong. He
saw that the pitcher was not looking, but Austin Hedges, who was behind the plate, did see it.
Okay.
That play, that pickoff, you know, throw, he said it was a bad play and I have to play better.
You know, it makes me think, Susan, Stephen Vogt just has no idea what the hell he's doing, because if Bo Naylor's starting, seriously, and I don't want to make this about the Guardians, but quickly, like, if you have Austin Hedges as the better defensive catcher, but Bo Naylor's in the lineup, I guess obviously for offense, but you're pinch hitting for him early in the game.
He does some strange things. Here's the thing that I've said, and I asked people in the Indians organization, because I don't get this. You've got a team that is predicated on pitching. and you're starting, Bo Naylor is supposed to be a hitter, but he doesn't hit. He's not hitting. He hasn't had a hit yet in the series, in either series. If your team is predicated on great pitching, which theirs is, and neither one of the catchers are hitting, because Hedges doesn't hit at all, why wouldn't you put the better defensive catcher in there? Mm-hmm. That's my question, and Stephen Vogt's answer evidently is, well, we think he might run into one. Well, he hasn't yet.
Yeah, and then they pinch hit for him early in the game. I mean, he could not be
Miller. He did a couple of strange things.
How about Judge, Susan? Is Judge lack of production offensively, is it because of the way that teams are pitching him, or is it something that Judge is doing differently this postseason?
No, I think it's the way they're pitching him. And, you know, and I said to you before, the problem with Aaron Judge is that, unlike Soto, he doesn't have Aaron Judge protecting him. And that's why people have suggested, and he won't do it, by the way, of switching Soto and Judge, and then you'd have Judge, Soto, and then Stanton, and then maybe Wells after Stanton. Because if Stanton is going to hit like this, then maybe you do something. But that's not what Aaron Boone is going to do. He's very loyal. He stays where he is. And by the way, the bottom line is that they're up 2-0 as they go to Cleveland.
What was the interpretation on your end, Susan? The comments, first the move and then the comments. So Rizzo played very well last night. A couple of hits, swung the bat very nicely. Good to have him back. But he was pulled game one, last inning, and Aaron said he was, you know, mentally and physically taxed, which is, I mean, it's not basketball. It's not. I was just very confused by that. What did you take away? What did he mean?
Well, I think what he meant, and you could see it, and Rizzo said, yeah, he hadn't played, don't forget, he hasn't played, he hasn't done anything in 16 days. I mean, in how many weeks is that? It's almost 3 weeks. Hadn't played
two
in 2 weeks.
Yep.
He's got, I think what happened, and they're not going to say this, he's got two broken fingers.
Yeah.
And the knuckle part, I think the pain got him. And his whole thing about playing, he said, if I can stand the pain, I'll be fine. And he did say to me, because I talked to him on pregame yesterday, and he had said, I don't know when this chance is going to come up again. I'm not going to miss it. And so I don't know what he has done, but he has tolerated the pain. And as that game went on, I think he was better yesterday. I know that he's got his hand wrapped in ice half the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's pain. And I think that Boone saw something on his face that said, okay, that's enough.
Gotcha. So Susan's with us here, of course. BT and Sal on the Fan. Game 3 tomorrow, and then Friday game 4, Saturday game 5 if necessary. Schmidt tomorrow, late afternoon. Heel game 4. You know, Rizzo's been on ice for a while, as you said. So is Luis Gil. Dominant, filthy stuff when he's on. What's the expectation?
I don't know. I know that you can do sim games, and he's done all that. I don't worry about Schmidt at all. I worry a little bit about wildness at the beginning with Gil, because I don't know how. He hasn't pitched in a long time. 10 yeah. days, 11 days.
I think
he hasn't
Pirates pitched game,
in a long
right?
time.
Pirates?
Yeah. And he... And he has a tendency, he can be wild, but his stuff is so good that they said they've done things. He said he's fine. He's in good shape. He's had sim games. He's pitched to live batters and all that. It's not the same. And hopefully he gets through. If he gets through the first inning, he's usually fine.
BT and Sal talking with Susan Waldman here ahead of game 3 tomorrow in Cleveland. Susan, I mentioned before Holmes and the Yankees bullpen, one of the MVPs. Well, how about Gleyber Torres? I mean, for years, the expectations, at least that I had for Gleyber, were that he was going to be an impactful bat in the postseason.
Yeah.
And for years, he's been disappointing. Are we finally starting to see Gleyber Torres reach his potential of what we expected? He has been on fire this postseason.
Well, he has done this before. When he first came here, when he first came up, he was like this. And that's why he had 30-odd home runs 1 year. And that's what we thought we were going to get. He talked about it yesterday that he did not have a good year this year, and he understands it. And it's not a good time to not have a good year when you're going into your free agency year. And what he did, his best friend is Gio Urshela. And they either have a batting cage or some kind of a hitting school down in Tampa together. And they went and they worked with Gleyber's personal hitting coach. And for years, if you listen to our broadcast, I've said 100 times, Gleyber Torres is best when he goes to right and right center. And that's what they had worked on. And Gio Urshela is almost like a cheerleader for him and you know, gets him going. Gleyber takes everything very, very hard. He really does. He's very sensitive. He takes everything really hard. But that He says his turnaround came an all-star break. When he finally got it through his head that he's best when he hits to right into right center into center, which he does. He can see the ball longer. He can do more things with it. Now, that's not saying he doesn't pull, because he does that too. But to go the opposite way with him is when he is going, it's hard to defend him because he can pull. And if he's going to go the other way, it's hard. You know, you can't move over and you can't leave that hole open. But this is a good time for him to have that. We used to have a saying in theater. I once said to a fellow actor, God, I'm awful tonight. And he said, it'll be fine. They'll forgive you anything if you give him a good death scene, which means at the end. And so now you're looking at Gleyber Torres, and he's going to, you know, and he is like, he's giving him a great death scene.
There you go. And the Yankees are more than alive. That is for sure. So I don't know if this is an odd question, but it's not factually based. It's just your interpretation. I'm really curious. So I remember in 2022 when I went to game three, and Yanks lost, I think it was 4-5 zip. There was just no juice. Understandably, nothing positive was happening. But even going into the series, I didn't feel like the Yankees could win the World Series. I didn't love their lineup. I didn't like the roster, all right? I feel like the stadium's more ferocious now because they believe in this team more. Does it sound different than 2022 to you?
In a way, but there was a difference in 2022. Who were they playing?
The Astros.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think there was a little more trepidation there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I, for one, I don't like it that they're not playing the Astros. I wanted to get through two teams. I wanted them to beat up on Baltimore, and I wanted them to finally beat Houston.
Yes.
And that's but what do I know? But, you know, it isn't going to be any less. But I get the feeling that the Yankee fans almost think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win.
Mm.
And when they didn't score, they're quieter. No, this is, I'll tell you the loudest I've heard this and a different sound last night in the stadium. And John and I looked at each other when it happened, because I haven't heard that particular cheer. When the ball went off the bat of Aaron Judge and it left the ballpark, I heard a cheer and a roar that I haven't heard I don't know if I've ever heard that. It was full of emotion. It was like, and it, to me, it showed what everybody thinks of Aaron Judge they wanted him to do. I really thought there was another feeling that I got, you know, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. There was something in that cheer that was different. I'm watching the things on MLB, and he just did it again.
Almost like when we cheered for Mattingly. Now, Mattingly had the injury, a little different, but it's coming from the heart more.
You know what it was? It's like in 95, the Mattingly series against Seattle when he hit 417.
I was there.
The first home run. Absolutely. It's that same.
Yes.
It's an emotional thing. It's not just yay.
Something
else is going on. Yep, that's perfect. That's a perfect description.
Nice. You know, I was at the stadium last night for game two. I got there late. Otherwise, I would have come and said hello. I didn't want to interrupt you during the game, of course. But the one thing that I noticed that I like, and tell me what you think of this, I'm glad Rizzo's back because I love his walk-up song. Do you like this song here? It got me going.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Right? Like this. Go ahead, pump that up, Patty. Come on, Susan. I love this song. It gets me going. Is that the best walk-up song or what?
Ever?
Oh, I mean, it's pretty good. Susan, come on. You can dance to this. No, I love this song.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what it is, but yes, I could.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. Martin Solvig or something like that. But that's what I noticed at the stadium. By the way, Susan, if I did come say hello, are we like, is it fist bump? Is it hug? Where are we at in our relationship?
You guys got to be hugging.
Sure, I'm a big hugger.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a hug is warranted. I just want to know. I don't want to do the awkward fist bump or go in for a hug and not get that. But
do I remotely look like someone who would fist bump?
No, I just wanted to make sure. I don't want to have any awkward encounters, but hopefully next time I can get to the stadium for the World Series would be early enough to come say
hi. No, by the way, I hope you guys talk about songs. My friends were texting me about, I had to read a spot last night that had some kind of bands in it, none of them that I've ever heard of, and I was running the words into each other. One had something to do with disaster, I think.
Huh.
But I was reading a thing, they were advertising it, and everyone was laughing at me. And people down in the Delta section who can hear the radio broadcast, they were laughing, turning around and laughing.
Disturbed, is it?
Disturbed, that's
they,
it.
Okay.
That's Jerry Recco gave us that one.
Thank
so here,
you, right?
That.
Were they laughing more at that or when John Sterling said that they looked drunk? God.
Do you know a phrase that was used years ago that I heard growing up, and every announcer did it? They're running the bases like drunken sailors. And I guess you can't say that anymore. Nobody's heard it. But I used to, as a kid, I remember hearing it in every announcer saying that. And Aaron Boone didn't think that was it. But, you know, base running is not their strength. It has never been their strength.
No, hey, but as you said, Susan, keep on winning. They're two wins away from the World Series. We'll get back with you next week while you're in. Well, I guess you'll be back by that point. As obviously, games 3, 4, 5, 5, if necessary, starting tomorrow. Safe travel, Susan. Always a pleasure.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks,
you too. Susan's appearance brought to you by Empower Solar. Supercharge your savings and electrify your life. What did you think of that song, Jared? That Martin, that Rizzo walk-up song?
The 4 seconds of it sounded great.
Yeah, can you play it again, Bull? You have
I
it there?
I don't know it.
BT, you like that song?
I mean, I'd probably go like a little Ozzy Osbourne Crazy Train or, I don't know.
I mean, how did this not get you moving? Like,
it's good.
It's not my style either.
I think I'd take Cotton Eye Joe over this.
You know what I noticed it when he went back to Chicago?
Okay.
And they played this because that was his walk-up. I was like, wow, this is a great...
How do you dance? Like, I've got the same dance move that I had in the college bars. Like, it sounds like an antiquated cha-cha. Like, how do you dance to that music? Honestly,
you get the fist bump going in.
Fist bump.
It's more like a salsa slash fist bump.
Okay, it just gets you going.
Salsa and the bump.
Yeah, you need the salsa bump.
You get that going. Now I feel like if I do ever meet Susan at the booth, I got to like play that song on my phone and be like,
as you're hugging her.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.